Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now, today's message is one in a series of messages that are meant to accompany a new book that we're offering free of charge. The book is entitled, What is a Christian? It's entitled, What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. Now, today's message is the fifth message in that series. And what we're doing is going through the chapters of the book, and I'm preaching these messages accompany the chapters of the book. And the chapter today deals with this question. Who were the first Christians? Who were the very first Christians? And I want you to think about that. But what the book, What is a Christian, and these messages that will be available on DVD and CD, they're meant to be an exercise for people who claim to be Christians to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith, as per the commandment of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, the Christian faith. I claim to be a Christian, and you may claim to be a Christian. Well, are you really a Christian? Am I really a Christian? And what I want us to do is to make certain that we test that claim by the truths that are set forth in the Bible. You see, if I claim to be a Christian, it really doesn't matter what other people think as far as validating that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not important what other people think of me. I'm very aware of that. But if I'm going to validate my claim of being a Christian and have the assurance of salvation, I need to know from the Bible what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. Man's opinion really has no bearing here. My own opinion has no bearing. Outward appearance really has no bearing. Now, it is important how we appear outwardly, that we do not deny our faith with our behavior. But what I'm saying here, and this is important because we need to have the right mindset. I want to take the claim that I have of being a Christian, and I want to test it by the Word of God and see if it stands true. And that's what I want you to do. So understand that. Now, the book, What is a Christian, goes into much, much more depth than the messages that I'm preaching. The messages just sort of give you an overview, but they're messages that are intended to put you through the test of self-examination too. But I urge you, like I said, we offer the book free of charge. We offer these messages on DVD and CD free of charge. So what is a Christian? Now, this is the fifth message, as I said, and the title of this chapter is Who Were the First Christians? Now, some of the most common errors and false views of Christianity come from people who say things like this. They'll say, if you study all the major religions of the world, that Christianity is one of the youngest, if not the youngest, because it's only about 2,000 years old. What they mean by that is that Christianity did not really begin until Jesus Christ, who is the person, the center, the foundation, and the truth of Christianity, did not come into the world until a little over 2,000 years ago and do his work and teach his teaching on earth in that time. And so they'll say, well, Christianity is one of the youngest, or if not the youngest, of all religions. Well, that's not true, and I'm going to show you that from the Bible. The second error or fallacy that people have is, and I've heard this said by many who claim to be Christian preachers, and they'll say that Christianity is an offshoot of Old Testament Judaism. And that is not true. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible. And the first point that I want you to understand about Christianity, if we're going to test our claim by the Bible, and if we're going to understand what a Christian is and what a Christian is not, is this. And listen to this very carefully. True Christianity has its origins in what the Bible calls the everlasting covenant of grace made before the world was created. Did you understand that? Christianity, the truth of Christianity now, was established in eternity before the world was created. And I want to prove that to you from the Bible. If you will, look, if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow along, look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. And verse 3. And listen to what God the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write here. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now that shows that all the blessings of salvation are in Christ, conditioned on Him. They come from Him. Verse 4, listen to this. "According as He," God, "hath chosen us in Him." Chosen who? Talking about His chosen people. "Chosen us in Him," in Christ. Look at this. "Before the foundation of the world." Now, when the Bible says before the foundation of the world, that means before God laid the foundation in creation. Before creation. He says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the whole purpose of it. God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, and His goal was that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So it was God's love that sent Christ to do for His people what they could not do for themselves. Look at verse 5. Listen to this. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, there's predestination. I tell people all the time, I had a fellow call me one time, and he said, "I don't believe that predestination." And I asked him, I said, "Well, where did that word come from?" Because the first time I ever confronted the word predestinated was right here in Ephesians chapter 1 and in other places in the Bible. Predestinated. That's what the Bible says. That God's people predestinated us, were predestinated unto the adoption of children, that's the adoption of grace, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Look at verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved," accepted in Christ. So there it tells us right there that that God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. So Christ, who is God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who has no beginning and no end, has always been, as appointed in the purpose and mind of God, the Savior of His people. And then look at what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And this is verse 9. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he speaks of the gospel of God, verse 9, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Now listen to this. "Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And in verse 10, he says, "but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." In other words, in the mind and purpose of God, Before the world began, He chose a people in Christ and purposed in His sovereign will to save them based upon what Christ would do in coming to earth in time. And that's made known to them not only by the appearing of Christ on earth in the fullness of the time God sent forth His Son, but also in the preaching of the gospel. So the gospel is the preaching of the terms and the promises and the fulfillment of an everlasting covenant of grace. All of this in the everlasting covenant of grace made before time, before the world began. Paul wrote in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, of the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Peter wrote about it. He spoke of how we're redeemed. The true Christians, the people of God, are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. You see, salvation that is communicated, that is accomplished in the way of Christianity, Christian truth, Christian doctrine, is older than this world. Do you understand that? That's an amazing truth, isn't it? It's really mind-boggling. But it shows you why true Christians are convinced that Christianity is the one true faith. It's older than creation itself. It's older than the fall of man into sin. You know, we talk about how the Bible teaches that God created the world and He set man in the world. And all of that God created was good, but man fell. He fell into sin and death. He disobeyed God, and we all fell in Adam. We're ruined by the fall. But before that fall took place, God had already established the one way of salvation through the blood of His Son, who would come in time and who would accomplish salvation for His people. So that's the first thing that we need to understand about Christianity. Who were the first Christians now? Well, let's go on. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, in talking about the fall of man, here's the next thing you need to understand. Not only is Christianity the product of the everlasting covenant of grace made before the world began, the first promise of the Messiah, who is the Christ of Christianity, is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, in the promised seed of woman. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at Genesis 3:15. Now, you know what happened. Adam fell. And he and Eve, they were ashamed. They were aware of their nakedness. They were ashamed of their nakedness. And understand that now, that nakedness in the Bible is a symbol of being found guilty and without righteousness, naked and open to the wrath of God. And then God spoke three curses. He spoke a curse upon the serpent, on Satan, a curse upon the woman, and a curse upon the man. And in Genesis 3:15, when He was pronouncing His curse upon Satan, here's what He says in verse 15. He says, "And I will put enmity," that is friction, hatred, "between thee," that is Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, who's that talking about? Well, most commentators will agree that that woman's seed there is talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man in one person. And you understand there that woman has no seed. Man has the seed. But you see, Messiah would not be born of man. He's born of woman. You see, the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And even though he would suffer and bleed and die, and that's indicated in Genesis 3:15 of how the serpent will bruise his heel. Now he's going to crush his heel. Now what that is, that symbolic language talking about, yes, he will suffer, he will bleed, he will die. But that won't be the end of him, because he will be raised again the third day. Because in his suffering unto death, there's the accomplishment, the establishment of righteousness. But in that transaction, in that great work, he would bruise, crush Satan's head. That's the death blow. So what this is speaking of is the promise of the coming Messiah. That's back in Genesis 3:15. Now, this is why I mentioned earlier that some people say, well, Christianity is an offshoot of Old Testament Judaism. Oh, no. Christianity is older than Judaism. We've already established before the foundation of the world. And here's the first promise of grace in Genesis 3:15, before there was any Judaism. And if you look over in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 20, after he pronounces the curse upon Satan, the curse upon the woman, the curse upon the man, he says in Genesis 3 and verse 20, he says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Now, up until that point, Eve's name was not Eve. Her name was just simply woman. That was her name. But now she's called Eve, which was the mother of all living. Now, here's the point. If you think about this, when Adam fell, what did Adam bring into the world and bring upon all mankind? Sin and death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth must surely die. God is a just God. He told Adam, he said, "In the day that you eat thereof, dying thou shalt die." So Adam brought death. There was no life. So how is there going to be life from the dead? Well, the promise of the Messiah in Genesis 3:15, the woman's seed is going to crush Satan's head. And he's going to come from woman. Again, conceived in the womb of the virgin. So now Eve is called the mother of all living. She could have never been called the mother of all living apart from the promise of Christ, the Messiah. Because without him, she's the mother of all dead. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins, the scripture says. Ruined by the fall. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. That doesn't mean that a little baby tells a lie, but what it does mean is he's spiritually dead. He does not have spiritual life that would glorify God. Somebody asked me, said, "Well, now wait a minute. He hasn't reached the age of accountability. How can you say that?" Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever known anybody in the history of mankind who hasn't sinned when they came to what people call an age of accountability? We're all sinners. Why is that? Somebody says, "Well, it's just because we all choose to sin." Well, we do choose to sin. But that's because we're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. That's the nature of man, you see. But how can there be life from the dead then? Through Christ. And then in Genesis 3:21, listen to this. It says that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Coats of skins and clothe them. Now, what do you have to do to make a coat of skin? You have to kill an animal. You have to shed blood. And then you skin him and the coat comes off. Now, what that is, that was a symbol of what sin demands. Sin reigns unto death. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So all of this speaks, number one, of the death of Jesus Christ as the surety and substitute of his people to satisfy the justice of God's law, which could only be satisfied through death. Now, the blood of an animal could not bring salvation to sinners. But the blood of the Lamb of God, you see, that was a type, that was a picture of the death of Christ, the Lamb of God, shedding His blood, satisfying God's justice unto death. And that was back in Genesis 3. The second thing that symbolizes is the righteousness accomplished by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness which God imputed, charged, accounted to His people for their justification. That's the coat of skin. This is the very righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. And it's imputed, it's charged, accounted, reckoned to their account so that they might be justified before God. And from what follows in Genesis 4 of Cain and Abel, we can know that what's recorded in Genesis 3:21 was the establishment and initiation of the sacrificial system of worship through the blood of animals, symbolizing, these were symbolic elements testifying of the one and only way that God saves sinners, by grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Christianity, if you want to call it a religion, I prefer not to, but it's the oldest religion. It's the real, only true religion. It's older than the world. It was revealed at the beginning. And we can read in the New Testament passages like Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, they call it, talking about the Old Testament saints and how they looked where for their salvation, for their righteousness, for their forgiveness. Not to their works, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:13 says, it says, these all died in the faith, the Christian faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were what the Bible says they were. You see, this is the whole thing. Talk about Noah. Noah, the Bible says in Genesis 6:8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, salvation has always been by grace. It's never been any other way. The law of Moses was not given as a way of salvation by works. It was given to show them their sin and the impossibility of salvation by their works, and to show them that if they were going to be saved, if they were going to be justified, if they were going to be forgiven, if they were going to be righteous, it had to be by grace, unearned, unmerited, undeserved, and conditioned on the promised Messiah, the woman's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for example, in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we read that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. And listen to this, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's how Noah was justified. It wasn't by his work. It's the righteousness which is by faith. Now, what is the righteousness which is by faith? It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The merits, the goodness, the value of His obedience unto death as the surety and substitute of His people. When we talk about Abraham, what did the Lord Himself say in John 8 and verse 56 concerning Abraham? He told the Pharisees, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham was a Christian. Noah was a Christian. Abel was a Christian. I believe Adam and Eve knew the gospel and believed it because they taught it to their boys, Cain and Abel. Abel believed it, Cain didn't. Abel had the gift of faith, Cain didn't. But these were the first Christians, folks. It didn't start in 2,000 years ago. Now, the New Testament began about 2,000 years ago when Christ came and lived and died, was buried and rose the third day. He accomplished His great work in time 2,000 years ago. But the truth of it was established before the world began. Christ told the Pharisees in John chapter 5 and verse 39, He says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. He said in verse 43 of John 5, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. But look at verse 44. He says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So do not think, he said, that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, listen to it, even Moses, in whom you trust. Verse 46, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You see, Moses was a Christian. All of these Old Testament believers, all of these Old Testament saints, they were Christians. The Old Testament, like the New Testament, is a book of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation by God's grace in him. That's what Christ taught his disciples before he ascended into glory over in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Verse 27, he sat down with his disciples, and he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And over in Luke 24, verse 44, he sat down with them. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and then the Psalms concerning me. And it says then, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the issue of Christianity, and it's older than anything. It's older than the world. Christ was set up as the surety and the substitute of his people from the beginning. Who were the first Christians? Go back to Genesis and read the Word. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.